Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Well, good morning to you all. You're looking good today. Welcome to episode 3 of our summer speaker series. Now, as you get your seat today, today's guest and I share a number of things in common. We both have a great love for God and His church. We love our families. We love our wives. And we love this nation. We're believing God for big things in the nation of Canada. Pastor John Burns has been a local pastor within our area for 33 years. And really, his ministry has had a global reach. John and Helen Burns are the founding and teaching pastors of Relate Church. Last year, they transitioned the lead pastor role to their daughter, Angela. And so great, exciting things happening at the church there. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of a church in Surrey or in Vancouver, but it's an even greater thing to be a part of the church as we stand unified together. John is also on the lead team for the Association of Relational Churches, ARC Canada, and we are excited as a church to be partnering with ARC to plant life-giving churches right across Canada, and if there's ever a day our nation needed it, it's today. And so today, Susan and I and our church, we would like to honor you both for your faithful service, your ongoing love for our city, and the ministry that you've put forth over the years. We thank you and honor you for your heart to mentor and raise up a new generation of church leaders. And so would you put your hands together today and make the Burns feel at home as Pastor John comes to minister?
Yeah. Wow. It is an absolute honor and a treat to be here. This really foundational church for our city and for our nation. And I feel so honored to be here. Pastor Gordon, are you in the room? I really do honor you for the years of commitment. I remember when God first got a hold of our lives, and, you know, I was a little younger. I had black hair. And I was crazy in lots of ways. But I used to listen to the radio, and you were one of the strongest voices for Jesus in our whole area, and still are as a result of it. Thank you so much. I'm so thankful to you and for Glenda. And then I just love it that you transitioned to your son. For all of you that don't know, Steve is not his son. They just happen to have the same last name. Now, how? Have you done the facts on what's the possibility of that happening? It's got to be one out of billions, you know, but God has a sense of humor. Well, I love the church, and I'll tell you a little bit of our story and my goal. I always like to let you know what my goal is. My goal is that when you leave, you'll love the church more. I know that you already love it, but my goal is I just want to help you love it even more. You know, we have, over the years, 33 and a half years, we've had, I don't know, thousands of people have come to our church for the first time, and I'll get to talk to them sometimes, and usually if I just get a couple of minutes with them, this is what I'm going to ask them. Please, I'm just going to ask you to do one thing. What? Just one thing. Tell me what. Love the church. Don't just come. Love the church. Never take it for granted. Never get used to it. Never think you've been there, you know that, you've done that. And just continually stay amazed. On our television show, we often get questions about, you know, relationship stuff. One of the big questions often is, how do you stay in love for a lifetime? I mean, our world says marriage? That's crazy. That's old-fashioned. You know, one person for your whole life, have sex with one person? How can you do that, you know? And my answer is easy. Stay amazed. Stay amazed. Never think
you've figured it all out. Never think you've discovered all the treasure there is to discover. There's more treasure on the inside. So I was born and raised in Vancouver. I went to Killarney High School. No other Killarneyites in here. One on the front row. So when I was in grade 12, someone told me, there's a girl that likes you. You should go out with her. And that really never got my attention because I was afraid of girls. Really. I had never talked to a girl because I stuttered really bad. And I wouldn't have pursued that except for, he said, but if you do go out with her, don't mention God or she'll talk your ear off. She's one of those Christians. What's that? I had no idea. I didn't know if I was a Christian. I went to church every Sunday of my life, but I didn't know if I was a Christian. So something went snap on the inside of me, and the next thing I know, I found her. And now we've been married for 45 years. Her name is Helen, and she really, I think I fell in love with what was on the inside of her before I fell in love with her. But it's been a journey, an amazing journey since. And so we got married. I went to UBC. And I studied and graduated in 1978 as a dentist. So I had the Dr. John Burns in front of my name. And we moved up to Williams Lake because get rid of the crowd, get away from the pot, the pollution. Well, it's pot now, but, pollution back then. Got to Williams Lake, and God got a hold of our lives. It was an amazing time. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. Hello. Jesus set me free in so many ways. And I started serving God. We got planted in this little church, this amazing little church. It was life. It was life to us. I'd never be who I am. I don't know if I'd even be married or alive today if it wasn't for this little church. And so we fell in love with church, started serving God. And one day God woke me up with a dream. And he said, pack your bags and move back to Vancouver. And I said, why? And he said, because there's more people there than there is here. I said, where? And he gave me an address. But the address was in Surrey. And if you're born and raised in Vancouver, you cross the bridge and you're lost. Really. You have no idea where anything in Surrey is. I had to get a map to look it up. Looked it up. And it's close to where we are now. But I thought it was dentistry. And so we got here, started a new dental clinic, started a new chapter of Full Gospel Businessmen, started, going to church, just fell in love with everything was doing good and everything was growing. And my big question mark is, God, what do you want me to do? I mean, you can't do everything, so what do you want me to do? And it came down to this. I was outside church one morning, and my pastor was on one arm, actually was like a tug of war, and he was saying, you need to build a church. We need great churches in Vancouver. And the other side, there's a business guy that was saying, no, you need to stay a dentist because you make a lot of money and you can support the church and you can travel the world and be an evangelist, and this tug of war is going on. And then the business guy says to me, I can actually finish this for you. It's just comes down to this. Here's the fact. You can do anything you want. And it's true for every one of us in here. You can do anything you want with the rest of your life. Just answer one question. What's the best? What's the best? I love the word in the Bible, nevertheless. You know what nevertheless means? The best. What's the best? And I didn't have to think. I knew what it was. It's church. But you'd never been to Bible school. You'd never been to seminary. You don't know anything. Well, I read my Bible. There's a couple guys, Peter, John, James, all the rest of them, they didn't know anything either. But they got out of the boat, and I felt like I was getting out of the boat, and we decided that was it. We're going to start a church. So 33 and a half years ago, January the 5th, 1986, we started Victory Christian Center, which is now Relate Church. And for all of the pastors that I've offended over the years, please forgive me. I started out with lots and lots of zeal, but little wisdom. And I'm now 66, and I've got rid of the black hair, as you can see. So hopefully I've learned some things. But if you were to ask me today what's the best, there's no question. It's church. I love church. I will give my life on the hill of church. Why? I don't know. Have you noticed? The world's in trouble. The world's not getting better. It's not getting brighter. Seems to be getting darker. Canada, it's not good. Have you looked at the stats? They're not healthy. They're going the other way in so many ways. And really what it represents is a lot of hurting people. Hurting, broken, lonely. Did you know that Vancouver's the loneliest city in North America? It's a fact. It's the loneliest city in North America. God said it's not good to be alone. And so he actually gave us the answer. He sent his son, Jesus. Amen? If you had to put one word over our hurting, broken world, it is hopeless. In so many ways, it's hopeless. But who's the hope of the world? Jesus. But he's chosen to come through his church. And he's here. And it's us together that presents him. Us together locally, but also corporately. And I love it. This is, you know what, 33 and a half years. Did you know, Pastor Steve, I've never been invited to preach in another local church. You're weird. Don't you know that if you have another pastor preach, he's going to steal all your sheep? I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. I'm just making a joke of it. But it's sad. It's sad that we feel like we've got to do our thing and there's a competition, but there isn't. There isn't. And the more we celebrate each other, please, church, the more we celebrate each other, the more Jesus gets celebrated. Because he's not into one or the other. He's into together. And together we can reach our world. So the hope of the world is Jesus, but that comes down to local church. And I believe the hope of Canada is the local church. That's why we brought Ark into Canada. I mean, Helen and I have been like, you know, mom and dad to pastors all over the world, but not too much in Canada. Why? Because it's not too much new churches. There needs to be more. And so we brought Ark into Canada, and I really believe it was a word from God that was, he said to me, there's thousands of young people. And I believe even in the room here, there's thousands of young people across our nation that have a call in their life to pastor a church, but it's never crossed their mind. Really. And you know what's going to help them to actually discover what's in them? When they begin to be in a room like this or in contact somehow with, we can plant churches. There's a principle called resonance. Everything has a frequency. And when you put two things together with the same frequency, it amplifies each other. It's literally explosive. And every one of us were created with giftings, callings on the inside of us. And when deep calls unto deep, something explodes and comes alive. And I believe across our nation, if we could just waken the desire to build the church, the best way to reach a lost world with the gospel, the best way to reach unchurched people is to plant churches. And that's why I'm so glad that we can together, work together to do this. So I just want to help you with how you love church. So I wrote down a few things about why I love church, okay? So simple. Why I love church. Number one, it's a welcome home mat to a hurting, lost, dying world. It's a welcome home mat. Home. Do you know we're all on a journey home? We're all going home. Now, for all of us that know Jesus, we know home's heaven, but don't wait for heaven. Home's right here. Home's where we're together in his presence. He says where we're together, there he is. And home is where he is. It's not a geographical location, but everyone in our world is looking for home. And where is home? Home's where your heart belongs. Where your heart belongs. People are dying to belong. That's why they join gangs and all kinds of weird things. But we are the home that they can belong in. We want them to find home. Home is where you are accepted and celebrated for who you are, not what you've done. You don't earn home. You're born home, right? And children come home. Do you know this? This is a principle in life. Everyone goes to where they're celebrated. Do you want your children to come home? Celebrate them. Want your grandchildren? Celebrate them. Want your husband, your wife to come? Celebrate them. We have 8 grandchildren. Our youngest is Jack, and we'd never forget when he's like 4 or 5. His favorite place in the world was our home. And he'd come home, and he'd just throw the door open and go, "I'm here." It's like, celebrate me. You know, and I think that's, you know where God goes? Where he's celebrated. The Bible says that he inhabits the celebrations, the praises of his people. Do you know who we're created in the image of? God. Is it any mystery that we go where we're celebrated? So church is this home where we celebrate people. And God is, he sent his son because he wants you home. Really, really, our heart should be to find and to bring lost sons and daughters home. That's my heart. I just see them lost, and I feel the Father's heart, don't you? Have you ever lost anything? Have you ever lost anybody? I remember the first time we went to Disneyland, our oldest, Angela, who's now our lead pastor, she was 2 and a half. I came out of the Pirates of the Caribbean. I said, "Helen, where's Angela?" And she said, "You don't have her?" "Well, I don't know where she is." Well, we went berserk. We went crazy. We started yelling Angela's name. People said, "Calm down." "Don't tell me to calm down. My daughter is lost. Here, have a cup of coffee." "No, I don't want a coffee. I want my daughter." You know what it was like? And yet I'm an earthly father. How much more our heavenly father? Lost sons and daughters. Bring them home. And we get to do that by building this, which is this very attractive place called church. Church is to be attractive to a lost and dying world. You know, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I'll attract all people. I'll draw all people. I'll attract all people to me." Well, he's love. If we lift up love, we'll draw people. We'll attract people to him. When people walk in the doors, they should be like, "Oh, wow, this is amazing." And we get to build that. So good. Number two, the second reason is I love church because it's born to serve. It's born to serve. You know, Jesus never reprimanded people for wanting to be great. James and John wanted to be great. They had their mother go talk to Jesus. "Can you tell? Can my sons have your right and left side?" He didn't reprimand them for wanting to be great. He just redefined great. He said, if you want to be great, be the servants of all. God wants us to be great. He wants our church, his church, to be great. And I believe we're called, okay? This was a new thought to me years ago. The church is called to serve our city. Years ago, I think it was 2009, we heard a message at Hillsong Conference. Pastor Ray McCauley said this. He said, "If your church wasn't here next week, would anyone notice? Would anyone care?" And I had to really admit, I don't think they would really care, except for the people that are in the church. But the ones that drive by, they might be quite happy. And so let's change that. So we went and had a meeting with Mayor Diane Watts. And she said, "So what can we do for you?" And I said, "No, we're not here for that. We're here to ask you, what can we do for you?" Well, I've never had that question. I said, "We have hundreds of hours of labor that we want to donate to the city. We want to serve our city." I never heard that. Well, so she gave us a list, and we started doing some of those things, and then more things, and then more things. And we've developed and just learned how to serve our city. And we've helped many other churches in the area. Together, let's serve our city. And now, really, it's such a great testimony that when our city has a need, they often will come to the church first to meet that need. Why? Because we're called to serve. A lot of times we think serving is the means to the end. No, serving is the end. Serving is the goal. Serving is the prize. Do you want to be great? Serve, period. Just serve. You know, at first we started giving Christmas gifts, and they said, the schools, they were saying, just drop the gifts off. We'll give them to the kids. And in the gifts, don't you have anything that talks about your church or talks about your religion? And so we didn't. We just wanted to serve. There's many of those kids in our area, some of them, you know, refugees that have never had a gift, never had a Christmas present. It's crazy. We could tell you stories that'll make you cry. But so we did that. And then they started saying, hey, you know, why don't we have a general assembly and you can hand out the gifts? And then they started saying, well, why don't we sing, you know, you could sing a few Christmas carols and hand out the gifts. And then a few years ago, they said, would you do us a favor? And when you hand out the gifts, would you teach our children what Christians believe about Christmas? You're asking me to preach the gospel, but in a way that is educational. And it has been so much fun. So I go with my accordion. Yes, I'm an accordion player, and I love it. And I lead them in Christmas carols and then tell them the story of why God so loved the world, he gave his son Jesus. And Christmas, you know, is a celebration of that. It's amazing. It's fun with accordion because I always ask them, what is this? And they don't have a clue what it is. So we are born to serve. That's why we're here. Number three, it's supernatural soil. I love the church because it grows miracles. It grows miracles. See, every single human being is a miracle, full of miracles. Really. If you're a parent, you know what I mean. Your child comes out of that womb and right away you recognize what's in this child and the responsibility factor. I love seeing men become fathers. I literally watch their shoulders grow 2 feet because responsibility just hit them. And you know this child, an eternal being, is full of giftings and callings, and you're responsible now to help bring those out. And the fact is, every one of us, we're miracles, full of miracles. Seed form. But seeds are really too valuable unless you plant them. And where we need to plant them is the soil, which I don't know if you know this about farming. Seeds are a lot cheaper than soil. You go try to buy a farm. Man, it's not easy anymore. It costs fortunes. Seed, not too expensive. And it's the same thing. It costs a lot for the soil that I'm talking about. It costs, you know what it costs? Everything. God gave us everything for the soil, which is the church. Psalms 92, amplified out of the 13 in 14th verse says, the uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. Be long, live, stately, upright, useful, fruitful. They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. That's big, majestic, stable, durable, incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. I'm glad I haven't got there yet, but it's coming someday. They shall be full of sap. Some people already are there. Full of sap of spiritual vitality, rich in the verdure and trust, Lord, of the Lord and contentment. Proverbs 11:10 says, the blessing that rests on the righteous, that's us, releases strength and favor to the entire city. Do you know that our city, not only are we called to serve our city, but they're waiting on us for the favor of God, and we actually release that. So we're here to serve. Number four, I love the church because it's God's family. It's family. It's family. We're family. And family's tight. Family is strong. Family never gives up. Like I said, you don't earn family. Families, you're just your family, period. And I love the church because it's family. We have 3 daughters and 8 grandchildren. And when we're home, we travel a bit. So when we're home, we will have family night at our house. And this is kind of a little bit of a revelation to me for church because it dawned on me. Not once have our daughters or our grandchildren called ahead and said, what are you serving? Who's cooking? Because if you don't serve what I like or cook what I want, I'm going somewhere else. And yet, so often in churches, we promote, come back next week because we're serving spaghetti, which is another word for a message. And we've got this guy cooking, which is another word for who's preaching. The food is the preaching. The cook's the one that's preaching it. And in so many churches, we're not family as much as we're restaurants. We just go where the food we like and the cook we like. And if you ever change the food, ever change the cook, I'll go somewhere else. That's not family. Church, we're family. I love being part of God's family. Ephesians 2:19 says, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers, foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family." We actually get to grow disciples. That's what disciples are. They're family. And we get to grow disciples and infiltrate every segment of our society, bringing a living Jesus to a dying world. Every one of us are called to be family where we live, where we are. And I believe it that we grow healthy families. I love that about church. It's healthy. You know, I've been to so many churches, and you walk away and say, "Well, you know, tell me, what was it like?" And healthy. We grow healthy marriages, healthy families, healthy relationships. And one of the ways that we do it is we live it, example. I remember one time we had a TV show. You might have seen it sometime, but it's called Pure Sex and Relationships. People used to call in and have questions, and we got this one note from this one lady. She said, "I'm not religious, but I love your program because I watch it every Sunday night, and after watching it, I feel like I've eavesdropped on my neighbor, and afterwards, I just want to do life better." See, we get to live that way. We get to live this attractive way that actually helps build attractive. Healthy families build healthy families. Number six, it's generational. Oh, so important. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man, a good woman, a good church leaves an inheritance to the children's children," which is the generations. I often say this. I know it's kind of a coarse way to say things, but I don't know if you're a good man until I see your grandchildren. I don't know if you're a good church till I see the generations. And I know this is a good church because I see the generations. So healthy to have generations. One of the saddest verses in the Bible is Judges 2, verse 10. "When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord, nor the work which he had done for Israel." Ouch. Ouch. If you did everything right and you lost the generations you lost, really, we're living today for tomorrow, for those that are coming tomorrow. Psalm 78, verse 4, "We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." Don't stop telling your story. And if you don't know the story of Calvary, go talk to people that do and tell the story. "Pastor Gordon, thank you. Your Father's Day message, I was a mess. It wasn't very nice to bring up all that dad, especially the poem at the end. But I'm so, you know, I mentioned this in the first service. You know, Pastor Gordon is he's a legend and very, you know, wise in lots of ways. And here he was preaching Father's Day in the church that he's been part of for years. It might have been one of the messages he would put most weight on. Right? Like, I'm really going to do the best I could possibly do. And yet, what did he do? He told a story. He told his dad's story. He told a generational story. Stop, don't ever stop telling stories. Don't ever stop telling your story. And the thing about your story is it didn't start with you. And it won't end with you. It's like if you grabbed a great big book and you opened it up, and one of the middle pages, and tore it out. That's you. But you have no idea who you are, why you are, until you read the first part, and you don't even know why you are until you read the rest of it. We're all part of an amazing story. And this sad thing is they didn't tell the story. They stopped passing it on. And that next generation was lost. And the last thing, number seven, why I love the church, it's the happiest place on earth. Okay? Not Disneyland. The church. The church is the happiest place on earth. I learned years ago to date my daughters because that was one of the things that changed my life. And I used to teach it all over the world. I thought, really, I've got a handle on this. And after a number of years of dating my daughters, I recognized they were making excuses. Really, they were making excuses to not go on a date with dad. And I was mortally wounded. And I asked Helen to do a little spying. Go find out what the problem is. And she comes back to me. She said, it's easy. You're boring. They said, we know what he's going to ask us. You know, it's like going out with the principal. I made a decision, which I think is so important for every one of us. From now on, number one on my list is fun. Why? Because people go back to where they've had fun. Fun is the best guarantee that this isn't the last time. And if this is the last time you date your daughters, it was a total failure. And the most important thing we can do as church is people come back again. So let's have fun, like you guys are going to do after the service. Go have fun. Don't be afraid to laugh in church. I remember, you know, so many churches, shh, you'll wake him up. He's already awake. Pastor Robert Ferguson wrote this. I'm going to close with this. It's lengthy, but it's about the church. And he's a teaching pastor at Hillsong. And I just can't improve on it. He said, she is the plan of God on earth, always in her Father's eye. Cherished, mysterious, beautiful, potent beyond measure. King empowered and life infused. She emerges triumphant, limitless with potential, a harbor for the hopeless and an answer for the ages, the church resplendent, a bride for his son. She is the body of Christ on earth, born like her head amidst tribulation under jealous skies, cradled in her innocence and guarded for his purpose. She grows in wisdom and stature with victory on her lips and freedom in her hands. Hers is an unstoppable cause. She embraces the world with dignity, honor, compassion. She gives vision to the sightless and life to the dying. She is the family of God on earth. Within her compass, the hungry find sustenance and the weary receive strength. She is a haven for recovering humanity, enthralled by grace. She invites the broken, the vulnerable, and the outcast to be immersed in love. She stands imperfect, but perfection resides within her. She is flawed, but is washed with forgiveness. She has a treasury of faith and a wealth of belonging. She is the house of heaven on earth, a representative resolute to reconcile. The word within her accepts the receptive, but challenges the heartless. She is the ecclesia called out to serve the world, calling out to welcome in, blood washed and armed with testimony. The cross on her lips liberates the chained and offends the unchanging. Like her master, she is pursued and persecuted. Yet she rises with strength in her heart and fire in her soul. She is the bride of Christ on earth, readying herself for the day when all eyes will be upon her. Prepared, presented before the Lord, the Lamb for whom the world waits, who comes like the rising sun, majestic, magnificent, beyond description, while she dazzles with reflected glory, spotless, perfect, mature, She bows low to cast her crowns, passionately worship him. Her temporal focus becomes her eternal gaze. She is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. She is. Church, stay amazed. Stay amazed. Never take it for granted. Heaven's your home. Get to be part of this. Generational, amazing. And have fun. Could I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes? I'd love to pray a simple prayer. I would not want to leave today without giving you an opportunity to make a choice, a decision that many of us need to make. If when you walked in here today, you'd honestly have to say to God that your heart wasn't right with him. Jesus was not Lord of Lords, King of Kings, sitting on the throne. You don't have to leave like that. My prayer is you won't. This is an opportunity just to say yes to God. Maybe you've never invited Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You've never given your heart to him. Jesus, I want to live my life for you. Teach me. Be with me. Never leave me. That's what becoming a Christian is all about. Well, today's your day. I'd love to pray a prayer on your behalf. I won't embarrass you. I'll pray for you right where you sit. But only you can say yes to God. If you're here and you say, I remember praying a prayer. I know what you're talking about. But I also know that he's not sitting on the throne in my heart. For some reason, maybe Jesus is in the back part of your life and you're just doing it your way. And you need to get back to where you were. Where Jesus be the Lord of all in my life. And it takes a choice. So I want to give you that opportunity to make that choice. I'd love to pray this prayer on your behalf. If that's you and you're saying, just include me in that prayer because I don't want to leave the way I came. I want to make sure I'm living my life full on for Jesus. If that's you, wherever you're seated, slip your hand up. Could I pray for you? Could I include you in this prayer? All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you haven't raised your hand, but you need to, just make the choice. Sometimes we think, I'm just going to make it in my heart. You know, the Bible says that you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. It's not good enough just for believing your heart. You need to actually do something with it. Thank you. Thank you. Who else? Don't want to leave the way I came. Include me in that prayer. Thank you. All right, you can put your hands down. I'm going to invite everybody to pray this simple prayer. I'll just give you the words. Prayer is talking to God. Let's do it together. And if you slipped your hand out, just pray this with all your heart. You don't have to leave the way you came right now. You can change that. Everyone say this, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I believe you're the Son of God. You died on a cross to pay for my sins. I believe you rose again and you're alive right now. Come into my heart and be my Lord. I want to live my life for you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap, church. God bless you.